Chapter 23. Someone slapped Kylar. Not gently.
Wake up, boy.
Kylar clawed his way out of a nightmare and saw the face of Master Blint a foot away, about to slap him again.
Master...
He stopped.
Master Tuli?
Good to see you remember me, Kylar, Master Blint said.
Master Blint got up and shut the door.
I don't have much time. Are you well yet? Don't lie to please me.
I'm still a little weak, sir, but I'm getting better.
Kylar's heart was pounding. He'd been desperate to see Master Blint for weeks, but now that he was here, Kylar was inexplicably angry.
You'll probably feel terrible for a few more weeks. Either the Kinder Peril or the Avarita paste interacted in a way I didn't expect,
or it might have something to do with your talent.
What's that mean?
The talent?
Kylar asked. His words were sharper than he'd intended, but Blint didn't seem to notice.
Well, if it was that, Master Blint shrugged, sometimes a body doesn't react well to magic at first.
I mean, what does it mean? Will I be able to...
Fly? Become invisible? Scale walls? Throw fire? Walk as a god among mortals? Blint smirked. Doubtful.
I was going to ask if I'll be able to move as fast as you do. Again, that edge came into his voice.
I don't know yet, Kylar. You'll be able to move faster than most men without the talent, but there aren't many who are as gifted as I am.
What will I be able to do then?
You're weak, Kylar. We'll talk about this later.
I don't have anything to do. I can't even get out of bed. No one tells me anything.
Fine. It means everything and nothing, Master Blint said. In Wydran or Alatira, they'd call you a mage, and six different schools would fight over where and what you should study, and what color robes you should wear.
In Lodrakar or Kalador, they'd call you a meister, and you'd grow the vur on your arms like tattoos and worship your king as a god while you plotted how to stab his royal back. In Ymir, you'd be a stalker, an honored and honorable hunter of animals, and sometimes men. In Fraeku, you'd be a Gorathi, a furied warrior, invincible in your clan, and one day a king versed in the arts of subjugation and slavery. In the West, well, you'd be in the ocean. He grinned. Kylar didn't. The mages guess... They'd say hypothesize to make it more respectable, that different countries produce different talents, and that's why men with pale skin and blue eyes become witches, while swarthy men are warrior Gorathi. They say that's why the only mages they get from Gandu are healers. They see men with yellow skin who can heal and proclaim that yellow skin means healing. But they're wrong. Our world is divided. But the talent... is one. Every people recognizes some form of magic, except for the Li Nort, who hate magic and simultaneously don't believe in it, but that's a different subject. But every people has its own expectations about magic. Gandu once produced some of the most destructive archmagi the world has known. They saw horrors you couldn't imagine, and because of that, they turned away from magic as weaponry. The only magic they value is healing magic. So, as centuries have passed, they've added greatly to their knowledge of healing magics and lost most others. A Gandian who is greatly talented with fire is a shame to himself and his family.
So, we'd never hear about him, Kylar said.
Right. There's an intersection between what the people around you know well enough to teach, what you're naturally good at, and what it is possible for you to learn. So the talent both is what it is, and it is what it has to be. Like your mind.
Kylar just looked at him.
Take it this way. Some people can add long lists of numbers in their heads, right? And some can speak a dozen languages. To do that, they have to be smart, right?
Right?
But just because you can learn to add lists of numbers doesn't mean you will. But a woman who handles account books and has a gift for numbers can, or a diplomat might have a gift for languages. But if he never learns another language, he'll still only know one.
Kylar nodded.
The woman with a head for numbers could probably learn another language if she worked hard enough. But she'll never be fluent in a dozen. And the man will never be able to add columns of numbers mentally. Do you see where this is going?
Kylar thought, and Master Blint waited.
We know that I'm talented, but not how or how much. So you can't tell what I'll be able to do.
Right, Master Blint said. From having me teach you, you'll definitely learn some things. You need to hide? Your talent will bend some light away. You need to walk quietly? It will muffle your steps. But like any talent, it has its limits. If you walk in the noonday sun, you'll be seen. If you step on dry leaves, you'll be heard. You're talented. You're not a god. You might have the smoothest tongue in the world, but if you swear at the king, you'll meet the headsman.
If I know 12 languages, and you speak to me in a 13th, I won't know what you're saying.
Sometimes you do listen, Master Blint said. I have to go now. Count Drake will take care of you. He's a good man, Kylar. Too good. You can trust him with your life, just don't get him started on your soul. And think of yourself as Kylar always. Azoth is dead.
Dead?
That released all the memories and fear and anger that had been building up in Kylar like pressing the trigger plate of a crossbow. Just like that, his mask fell away, and he was Azoth once more. Azoth grabbed Master Blint's arm.
No. No, you didn't. Does this look like hell?
Blint gestured.
Ha! And they wouldn't let me visit heaven.
But Azoth could remember looking down at a knife sticking out of his chest. It had seemed so real. How could such a thing be?
I couldn't work for them, Master Blint said. I'd be a bloody sword to them. They wouldn't be able to clean me, and they wouldn't be able to sheathe me. They'd have killed me eventually. It's easier to keep your eye on your enemies than on your friends.
So you've been killing wet boys?
Azoth asked, trying to get a hold of himself. For weeks, he'd been keeping himself from thinking about that afternoon, but now he couldn't hold it back. He remembered the look in the Lord General's eyes, the utter shock. He remembered following those eyes to his own chest.
Nobody good would take a job on me. Men like Rabble and Gibbet and Severing get paid too well doing regular jobs to risk their lives taking on a real wet boy. Now remember, you're a Stern. You're proud of that, even if you are poor. The Sterns are barons, so they're upper nobility, but at the lowest level.
I know, Azoth said, cutting him off. I know.
Was it just his imagination, or had Master Blint just looked guilty? The wet boy fished in a pocket and popped a garlic clove in his mouth. If it were anybody else, Azoth would have sworn he was trying to distract him, rushing to get out of the room before Azoth could pin him down.
Why was I so eager to please a man who was willing to murder me? I thought he cared.
In the weeks that he'd been here in bed, Kylar had been alone. He'd left everything of his old life. He'd had real friends in Jarl and Dahlgirl. They had cared about him. Now he was pretending to be friends with Logan Gyre. And even he had left. Not even Mama Kay came to visit. It almost physically hurt when the Count and Countess came in at the same time. They so obviously loved each other. They were safe and happy and real together. Even Logan and Sierra sometimes traded looks that made it obvious they liked each other. Those looks, that love, filled Kylar with a yearning so deep he thought his chest was going to cave in. It wasn't just hunger. A guild rat knew hunger, like he knew the sewers where he huddled for warmth in the winter. Hunger wasn't comfortable, but it was familiar, and it was nothing to fear. This was a thirst like his whole body was parched, drying up, about to crumple. He was dying of thirst on the shores of the world's biggest lake. None of it was for him. To him, that lake was an ocean. It was salt sea that, if he drank, would make him thirstier and thirstier until he went mad and died. Love was death for a wet boy. Madness and weakness and vulnerability and death. Not just for the wet boy himself, but also for anyone he loved. Everything about Azoth's life was dead. He'd sworn that he would never love, but he'd never seen anything like what the Count and Countess shared when he'd promised that. It would be tolerable if anyone cared about him at all. In the time he'd been with Master Blint, he'd started to think that the wet boy liked him, cared about him. He'd believed that sometimes Master Blint was even proud of him, even though everything about the gray-haired Lord General was foreign to Azoth, there was something right in the outrage and disbelief that had been in his eyes when Master Blint stabbed Azoth. He shouldn't have done it. Azoth burst into tears.
How could you do it? What's wrong with you? It wasn't right.
Blint was caught off guard for a moment. Then he was suddenly furious. He grabbed Azoth's tunic and shook him. Damn you, use your head. If you aren't smarter than this, I should have killed you. Did he believe me when I said I didn't care if they killed you?
Azoth looked away, admitting it. You planned it all along.
Of course I did. Why do you think we bleached your hair? It was the only way to save you. Azoth had to die so Kylar could live. Otherwise, they had a hold. Any attachment you make in this life will be used against you. That's why we're strong. That's why four wet boys couldn't kill me, because I have no attachments. That's why you can't fall in love. It makes you weak. As soon as you find something you can't walk away from, you're trapped, doomed. If anyone thinks I gave the hair on a rat's arse what happens to you, you become a target. For everyone.
How does he do it? How is he so strong?
Now look. Look at my damn hands.
Blint held them up. Both were empty. He made a fist and smacked it down on one arm. A bloody dagger sprouted from the opposite side. He jerked his hand away, and the knife pulled back through his flesh. Then it frayed apart like smoke and disappeared.
I have a small talent with illusions, Kylar. I did a better job with yours because I had to sell it. But all I did was hit you in the back with a knockout needle, then hold the illusion until it took effect.
But I felt it, Kylar said.
He was regaining his balance. The tears were gone. He was thinking of himself as Kylar again. Sure you felt it. You felt me hit you, and you saw a dagger coming out of your chest. At the same time, your body was trying to fight off a dozen minor poisons. You made what sense of it you could. It was a gamble. That illusion used up almost all the power I can use in a day. If Aegon's men had stormed the place, we would have been finished. The poisons I used wreaked havoc with your body. They could have killed you. Again, a gamble I had to make.
Master Blint does care what happens to me. It hit him like lightning. Master Blint had risked using up his power to save Azoth. Even if it were just the affection a master might have for a talented apprentice, Blint's approval washed over Azoth.
Kylar, as if the wet boy had given him a hug. No adult had ever cared what happened to him. The only other person who'd ever risked anything for him was Jarl. And Jarl was part of another life. The truth was, Azoth hated Azoth. Azoth was a coward, passive, weak, afraid, disloyal. Azoth had hesitated. Master Blint didn't know it, but the poisons on the needle had killed Azoth. He was Kylar now, and Kylar would be everything Azoth hadn't dared to be. In that moment, Azoth became Kylar, and Kylar became Blint's. If he had ever obeyed his master half-heartedly before, or out of fear, if he had ever fantasized about one day coming back and killing him for how hard the training was, it all dried up and blew away now. Master Blint was being hard on Kylar because life was hard. Life was hard. Blint was harder, stronger, tougher than anything the Warrens could throw at him. He forbade love because love would destroy Kylar. Master Blint knew better than Kylar did. He was strong, and he would make Kylar strong. He was fierce, and Kylar would be fierce. But it was all for Kylar. It was all to protect him, to make him the best wet boy he could be. So it wasn't love. So what? It was something. Maybe nobles got to live on the shores of that lake and drink at their pleasure. That life hadn't been decreed for a guild rat. Kylar's life was a desert life. But there is life in the desert, and a small oasis had Kylar's name on it. There was no room for Azoth. The oasis was too small, and Azoth was too thirsty. But Kylar could do it. Kylar would do it. He'd make Master Blint proud. Good, Master Blint said. Of course, he couldn't see what Kylar was thinking, but Kylar knew the eagerness in his eyes was unmistakable. Now, boy, are you ready to become a sword in the shadows?